When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
It's hour one, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian walked in today, told us this Cowboy is done for the year. That'll be our lead story. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl winning champion scout, the former NFL executive as well. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control, fixing to go five flawless. You have Woolchuck and Shia follow here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. So, yeah, another Cowboys great. Maybe played his last game, probably played his last game, Brian.
Yeah, he did. He probably, when you're talking about Tank Lawrence. And so, yeah, this is, you know, they tried their best to get him back. And it was a couple times where I know I was passing by the field and just kind of watching him. And I felt like, okay, here we go. This is looking like him and Britt are working very well, being able to plant, to drive and stuff, but they just could not get that thing to where they needed to be, and it wasn't worth the risk to them going forward. And so, yeah, we've probably seen Tank, as you mentioned, for the last time in a Dallas Cowboys uniform as well.
Zach, I'd love it if they can find a way to come to terms with him. I know it would mean a lot to him if he can finish his career with the Cowboys. Maybe he'll take a significant team discount.
I wonder if he will. I mean, he did that restructure that he gave, I thought was huge and very, very telling. Like, maybe he really does just like it in Dallas. Certainly when he was playing, I still think he's a good player when you look at an all-around end. I know that fans just got frustrated with the amount that he got paid, and then the sack numbers decreased. But when you look at the pressures, the ability to stop the run, I mean, for a long time, he was your best run defender.
Sure was.
So, I mean, you're going to need defensive line help moving forward if the number works. I'd love to see him come back. I know also he was a leader on that defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I think they drafted Marshawn Nealon to be this guy now. And so the organization probably ready to move on. Yeah, we'll see if I don't want to count him out completely, but I kind of felt like last year when they drafted Nealon, it seemed like the obvious replacement.
And he's played well.
Yeah, Nealon's done a nice job. He was banged up a little bit there with the knee and stuff, but man, hopefully this last three games you get to see a little bit more. But I like to. The thing with him is playing the run. I mean, he could really play the run. Just like to see him have some opportunity with the pass rush and be able to have some success where he can carry that into next year.
Do you see him evolving into the kind of rusher Tank was?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Zach could speak to that, too, because he evaluated the player at Western Michigan.
Yeah.
And it was the questions I had were more about his pass rush ability. Is he going to be quick twitch enough? I think he is. I think there was some time. They've worked with him on getting to that corner and being able to flatten it a little bit better. And there were times at Western Michigan where he rushed down the middle a little bit too much, tried to overpower those MAC tackles. And, you know, it didn't always work out. But he developed a little bit more of that bend and a little bit more of the dip to be able to get home. And I think the explosiveness he plays with, the strength he plays with, we'll give him an opportunity.
Rookie year Tank missed 9 games with a foot injury, came back wild card game against the Lions, had the game sealing sack fumble. He also had sacks his second year.
He had the sack. And then had to do it again.
Yeah, he had the sack fumble. Yeah, that's right. He dropped the ball. Yeah, that was crazy.
But yeah, you know, that one is just, you know, the latest in a string of unfortunate injuries in an injury-plagued season. We did get the surgery update on DeMarvian Overshown. It was successful. Mm-hmm. There's hope he could return mid to late next season. A bit more optimistic than, you know, we've been up to this point. So that would be awesome if he can get back. But as far as pass rushers that you're sure are on the team next year under contract, Micah, Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealon, maybe Overshown if he comes back. Is there anybody else you feel good about?
That's on your roster right now. That's a great question. No.
Is it a need going in?
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying if Tank wants to come back, yeah, you can make that work. I'm all for it because you need some players there and you know he's a good one.
Yeah, I think there's... You can look at both defensive line positions, the tackle and the edges, and be able to kind of figure out that if somebody's there, like we were talking about, we were kind of laughing about this earlier, Dawson, it you don't have enough picks to do everything they wanted to. But yeah, I think edge is clearly one that they need to address.
Top NFL story of the day, is it the Falcons benching Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr. getting a shot? Do you guys think he's going to have instant success?
Yeah, this is interesting because the Falcons are still battling for a playoff spot, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're still trying to fight for that division.
They're trying to fight for the division win, and here they make this switch. So this could either work out brilliantly for them, or this could be an absolute disaster. I'd like to believe that their schedule is not that hard. So to me, it kind of makes a little bit of sense, and maybe if they don't get in, get this guy some looks and get him ready for next year.
Yeah, this is the perfect time, and you're playing the Giants.
Yeah,
this is the perfect time to throw your rookie
too.
In there. Yeah, and then it's the Commanders defense, which has not been good, and then it's the Panthers. So yeah, you get three tune-up games at worst, and it definitely can't be as much of a disaster as what it's been lately with Kirk Cousins. He's not going to go five games, one touchdown, nine picks, and look like he shouldn't be playing football anymore.
Yeah, it's been a horrible run for Kirk Cousins. Maybe the end of him as a starter. I don't know what kind of market there would be out there for him if the Falcons want to trade him. But Penix put Washington in the playoffs last year, and to do that for that program and how far they've fallen without him, and of course the coach, and they lost some other players. But I thought if it wasn't for the injuries, Penix's ability to play under pressure and in clutch situations was massive.
He's won everywhere he's been.
Indiana
was not. I mean, I know what they have, the new coach at Indiana, and they've had a historic year for them.
But he left; they were terrible.
Yeah, once he walked out of the building, that Indiana program went downhill fast. And but so I can say he's definitely benefited from the coaching staff there at Washington. They had outstanding players: three wide receivers, a little bit of a running game, they had a physical offensive line. They got guys drafted, but Michael Penix played well when he had the opportunity.
He picked Texas apart. I mean, that semifinal game, he's got, you know, you're always looking for that it when it comes to these quarterbacks. Yeah. When we watched the guys last year, like Penix had a little bit of that. I'm hoping he's successful. I think that this is the right decision for Atlanta moving forward.
The Mavericks have named a new CEO. It's Rick Welts at a press conference this afternoon. He is an NBA Hall of Fame executive that's worked in the league since he was 16 years old. Had built close relationships with Nico Harrison, Jason Kidd, and Klay Thompson. He was with the Warriors for three of their championships. And I think the reason that he's here is he recently oversaw construction of the Warriors' new gym.
There you go.
And, you know, that was one of the crowning achievements of his career. If you see his quotes,
the Chase Center, is that where we're about? The Chase Arena? Is that with the Golden State? Is that where
the Chase Center?
Chase Center. Yeah. Chase is that Center. What you're about, or is that like, okay, I didn't know if you were talking about like they had a complex that they.
No, that's, their new arena.
Okay, Chase, okay.
So the Mavs have reiterated leading up to this announcement and during it, they intend to honor their lease of the AAC through 2031. Mark Cuban said shortly before selling the team the plans to build an arena that sits in the middle of the resort and casino. Welts stressing in an interview with the Morning News, it's important the Mavs do what's best for them and the Sands Casino operation does what's best for them as they, you know, try to push forward their casino agenda. Right now, there's nothing, no momentum in our legislative bodies, not getting enough support from Republican lawmakers to, you know, make gambling or casinos legal here in the great state anytime soon. But they do have a significant amount of time. And as we see quite often, things like that can change quickly. You know, I think the AAC is a good building, but as you see more and more, and you can obviously see it around the globe right now, you know, the owners of these teams see it as an opportunity to maximize revenues across multiple different industries when it comes to, you know, their building and the real estate around that. So we'll see, you know, what they have in mind. Adam Silver says they are looking into the criticism that the 3-point shot is causing less interest in the game. Mm. It was his quote. He says right now he does not believe the ratings are a 3-pointer issue. Says at times we've moved the line, but I don't think that's a solution here, because I think when we look at both the game and the data, that may not necessarily do more mid-range jumpers, if that's what people want, but more clogging underneath the basket. So this is, you know, an interesting one. I don't know. I think a lot of the people voicing this maybe didn't watch basketball in the 90s, or they're thinking about it romantically. But like games in the 80s and 90s and being defensive slugfests and trying to dump it into the big man, that's boring. You know, the game is much more entertaining aesthetically as it was in previous generations. It was great then because you had Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, maybe Vince Carter, T-Mac, some of these other electrifying stars that would occasionally pull off a play that would leave your jaw dropping. But now we have more space for those guys to do their thing. I think the game is, you know, better than it's ever been. Chief, how about you?
It's tough. I think because you don't have LeBron at the height of his powers, Steph at the height of his powers, like who is that guy that is the real huge draw? Obviously MJ, Kobe. And now it's like your best player is Jokic, and it's not like he's a big draw. Yeah. Who's the player that's just really getting people to the screen right now?
I think it's Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, I mean, maybe it's because he's with the Timberwolves. Yeah, yeah, it's like there hasn't been
Jokic with a team, too, that probably doesn't get a lot. I mean, Denver is a, I mean, you talk about airplay and stuff like that. Denver's on because of him, but
I also think this
Minnesota,
is,
Denver, those teams.
This is just kind of the nature of the beast now of the sports fan and the ADHD of not wanting to sit down and just watch a game. There's not like an NBA red zone kind of deal. And the length of these seasons. And I know the sport cashes in on it when you have all these games, but baseball deals with the same deal. Like you don't have, it's not high stakes. A random game in November, December, January, February. Once you get after the All-Star break, now you feel like, okay, now these games are mattering. We're seeing where the seeding is. Okay, what does my team need to do? Now it feels like the games start to matter. But until then, it's like, what does it matter if I miss a random Wednesday night baseball game or hockey game or NBA game? It just,
yeah.
Like, which that's the advantage that football has.
Right, with the cup. You know, the Players' Cup, the Emirates deal that they just had last night. But it didn't work. I mean, I don't think people have really cared. Like, am I super invested in it? Does it matter if my team really wins this or not?
It doesn't help when last year the Lakers win and then they end up being an awful team. They don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. Or they get smoked.
And I think when you specifically mention the Lakers, it does make me think that, you know, something we haven't talked about yet is their new salary cap rules. They've made it really, really hard for the best teams to stay the best teams. And now you have a team like the Celtics that I think really lacks a true superstar. They win the championship, made it look easy. If you had left the rules the way they were, maybe the Lakers are able to build enough around LeBron. Maybe the Warriors are able to do the same thing. And now you have teams chasing high win totals. You have the game's biggest names in, you know, big markets playing dominant basketball. And you know, I know it's good for the overall interest. Like right now, the Mavericks, any team, the Thunder, has a better chance of becoming champions in this model of the NBA. But it's usually been big stars and big markets that drive that casual kind of interest.
Can I ask you guys a question about this? Do you feel like you mentioned the length of the schedule? Do you think we needed 162 in baseball because we didn't at the time didn't have television packages and we needed the games to make gate? In order to make money,
it's all for the dollars.
In the NBA, we have 82 games because we didn't have a great television package. We needed the games in order to make money for the gate to pay the players and stuff. Do you think that in an era now where we have games on like every night and television packages and streaming packages that you don't need 162 games?
No.
Because you're going to make your money on those streaming games in television packages. Whereas before in the 50s and 60s or whatever, you needed those games because you needed revenue.
Yeah, there was no cable TV. There was no internet. There was no competition. People needed something to do at night beyond, you know, housework and playing with their dolls. You know, there was nothing to do back then. So it's like, wow, the baseball game is on again. This is amazing.
Yeah. See, I grew up in an era where I got to watch one college football game a week. Mm-hmm. And really, the Cowboys on an NFL game a week. Yeah. You know, and Monday Night Football was my highlights. I didn't have the highlight packages that we have now with especially shows like that. So I'm not saying it was better. I'm just saying there was a far less, it was the saturation, you know, that you needed those games. Because, you know, we weren't buying into TV and stuff like that, or these cable packages and stuff. I just wonder if they could adjust it to where, like, they make so much money, but television's going to say, well, if we don't have the games,
you're not going to get as much.
We're not going to sell them.
Right.
But it's maybe, still a buttload, but they're not going to go backwards on it.
But would the ratings be up if we knew we had more specialty games of Mavericks versus Golden State? You know, if we had more matchups like that instead of, you know, 82 games, if we had, say, we had 60 games.
And it also might hurt that you're on a bunch of different networks now. Not everyone. It's not that easy to find unless you're like super plugged in and you know, okay, I've got a game on TNT one night. It's on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Now every team's kind of having their own deal with the Stars and Victory Plus. You got the Mavs now on Channel 29. It's not exactly like I know I can turn on NBC and I got a game here at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. I got to kind of go searching for the sports now. Mm-hmm. That probably doesn't help them.
Stars' next game is today. 6:30 against the Toronto Maple Leafs at the AAC. Toronto pretty much like an Eastern equivalent of the Stars. They're 19-10 with a couple of overtime losses. So another great test.
Six.
Good game. And you're going to want to get to the barn early there to check it out. At what point would you take this player in the Cowboys' upcoming first-round pick? We'll talk about that. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30, and we're back at the fam.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, Nation. Yeah, Ashton Jeanty meme going viral here. Explained one of the reasons he would be so excited to join the Cowboys. I want to know from you at 877-881-1053. If you'd like to text in, leave your name and city you're texting from. If the Cowboys win a couple of more, they would pick between like 14 and 18 or so. Would that be low enough? Where you'd be like, man, maybe this is the spot to take Jeanty. Segment's brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. Please drink responsibly. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, says one of the reasons he'd want to be here, his entire family is in Texas. So I could see him beating Tampa. They have a pathetic pass defense. You can make a couple of big plays there. If the defense plays well, maybe you keep him to, you know, somewhere between 17 and 24 points. We have a game in the fourth quarter. Obviously, they match up incredibly well against Washington, beat him earlier. But I think the farther you go beyond the first round, it'll be interesting to see how many total, you know, first round picks there actually are in the first round, usually somewhere around 19 or so.
Yeah.
The first round grades fall off. You're essentially taking second round players at that point. And if players 16 or so isn't a good fit, you don't like them, it's at a position that you decide you don't need, and you start to see how things are falling to you. Man, what Rico Dowdle has done with this, you know, ability to run the ball and play defense and get results. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I would, and I'm back, I would think, man, that worked for us. And if we have an even better running back, I think Jerry Jones would have to like it. You know, the marquee running back is something historically that the Cowboys have had. So, you know, what's your spot? Does it need to be all the way in the second round, Chief? Or, I mean, I think Wolchek would probably take him number one.
Hey, Broadus would too.
Broadus, how are you looking
at
this?
I don't know that I'd take GT1.
I think to me, I
trade down to five and take him.
Yeah. I look at this as if I'm picking somewhere 14, 15, 16, and I think that's going to maybe be right where my number's going to be for the last guy in the first round.
You think you can even get that far?
I'm going to do my damnedest to get that thing to 15 if I can. Yeah. But I think the Cowboys will be picking in that range. I think he will be the best player on your board when you pick. And that's always been my philosophy in the first round. Give me the opportunity to take the best player on the board, because I'm going to try and limit my mistakes is what I'm doing. I think when they've drafted Zach Martin, they felt like that maybe Johnny Manziel was the best player on the board, you know, and I take it back. Zach Martin was their best player. Yeah, Jerry brought up the discussion about Manziel. And so now you're sitting there and they're like, listen, we're going to take the best player here. I think it's going to be really, really, really close to the number of first round grades. I think 15 might be the number this year on that. So I'm trying to take the best player. I know it doesn't necessarily help me like long term. Second,
you can't afford a miss though here.
I can't. And
you're
going to
have
to me. He's
a big
going,
chance of that.
To me, okay. If I'm just looking at Tankathon's mock draft, and matter of fact, they have Dallas picking at 14.
Yeah,
they have Jeanty going to the Bengals at 13, right ahead of you. So that takes you completely out of that. But the players behind that, Mikael Williams from Georgia, an edge rusher.
That spot, I don't hate that.
A lot of questions, though, about him overall, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys we're going to talk about, you're dodging landmines.
Yeah, James Pierce, edge from Tennessee.
Phenomenal pass
rusher. Nick Scroton from Texas A&M, another edge.
I don't know where you play him.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Tough one. Now we're in the mode of we're taking guys that have questions and potential holes in them as players. I'm just trying to limit. I know it's a running back, but I'm trying to, and like I say, he is likely to be the best player. Now, they have you taking Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri. That'd be a hell of a pick.
Good receiver.
That would be a hell of a pick. You know, and if he's there and Jeanty's there and all that, I could see them taking the wide receiver, no question. But those edges that I just mentioned, Williams from Georgia, Pierce from Tennessee, the Texas A&M kid, I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that at all.
Yeah, like Pierce is so much fun, the bend, the explosiveness, but that dude gets mauled off the football in the run game. Yeah. He is very light, and we've had complaints about Micah. So it's like you're getting possibly a dominant pass rusher, but am I also now taking a guy in the first round that I got to try and he's got a weakness at stopping the run?
I mean,
I want that?
The possibility for me to have the potential to land a supreme pass rusher is worth it.
Okay.
Then
we're going to gamble on this. And I'm okay. Like I say, my two cents is I'm trying to get the guy that I feel like can help me right now and not the guy that I'm going to have to gamble on. I don't mind gambling in the second, third, fifth round.
You got to get a plug and play guy.
I need a difference maker. I don't, maybe these guys, the Williams, the Pierce, the Texas A&M, these kids of all, that's a big gamble.
Yeah.
Look at, for example, what was a guy at, and why am I going, Brandon? The kids who took the Ravens from Alabama, that the edge rusher last year that everybody had really, really, really high.
Oh my gosh. I did not like him. Dallas Turner.
Vikings.
I said Ravens. I knew it was some purple team. He had half a sack. He had half a sack going into this last
But
game.
He had that. You're right. The bend. Like, he had what you are forecasting is he's got the tools.
Yeah.
But the tape didn't really match it.
Right. See, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you have to... There's got to be guys there that you like. There has to be.
Okay. And in this mock draft, though, again, SRA, have you looked at SRA, the tackle from Minnesota?
No, I haven't seen
him yet. Okay. He's a guy picked at 18. Tyler Warden, the tight end from Penn State.
See, I'd take the East Carolina corner.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Chevelle
Reveal.
But he's
coming off an injury.
Yeah, but he's coming.
I think if he didn't get hurt, that dude's a top 10 pick, best corner in the draft.
He is by far the best corner in the draft. But the best offensive tackle has a knee injury, Josh Simmons from Ohio State.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a knee injury, but he's going to be picked at 26. See, so like, you know, that's to me, I'm just trying to limit the potential of not busting on that first. That's the only thing I'm trying to do right now.
And Jeanty's safe. He is. He's a safe pick. There's no doubt you're going to take him. He's going to come into the league, be a really good running back, and he's probably going to be your bell cow, one of your best offensive players, one of your best players, period. But then the question, then you're not going to give him a second deal. So that's the issue. But he's probably coming into the NFL, and much like Zeke, it wouldn't surprise me if he's like the best back in the game.
Don't you also have to measure how much better he is than your current guy who's been rumbling? I mean, I know he gives you some added traits beyond that, but how much are you upgrading at the position?
I think it's
a massive upgrade. I think there's a difference between just being productive at running back and then being a game-changing type of back. You're seeing with
second-best offensive player on the team.
This kid is better than Bijan Robinson.
With a team
Robinson,
that lacks offensive talent.
In my opinion. He's better than Bijan Robinson.
I would look at it like, okay, we know we can get running backs all throughout the draft in general, but especially this draft.
Let's gamble on the edge.
So I'm looking at premium positions that might be a little bit thin. I may not be able to get one in the second, can, third, or fourth round. I can always get a running back. And again, this is a historic running back class.
You could take
somebody else.
You could take any position you want. You could take that. You could take that kid from Georgia, and he's 6'5". He's 265, and there's some really good things about him. But there's some things that also scare the hell out of you about him, too.
Let's take it into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day presentation.
Yo. Big Godzilla. Big Lizard coming. Coming to tear up the city. Big Lizard kicking over buildings. Blowing his hot breath all over the place. Big Lizard. All right, let's see what I got for you boys. Our winner and champ so far comes from the Fan After Dark. Fan Phenom winner, Blake Elliott, is, I don't know if you know. I'm going to be respectful because I like his mother. I think she's awesome. I think Blake is cool, too. Even though he looks like Ice-T's daughter.
You're going to make me Google this.
Not much makes him nervous, but if you ask Blake how his mom is doing, he's like, why are you asking? You know, the look on his face like, holy crap, another guy asking me about my mom.
Been there before.
Yeah, I got to be respectful. Blake had a root canal that got infected, okay? And he didn't know what to do about it, so he went to the Care Now, whatever that place is, to get a shot. And here's how it went.
I'm complaining, sitting there on the urgent care table, whatever, with the plastic.
Yeah.
Next thing he knows, he goes, you want the pain to go away? Kind of licks his chops and said, yes, doctor. I'm not even looking at him at this point.
Anything, please.
I turn around. He's got the longest needle I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's a penicillin needle.
And he said, well, I'm gonna shoot you up with this and you'll be feeling better. I said, okay, here's my arm, sir.
He's like, no, he's not that mangly ass little arm. He goes, go ahead and drop trowel, chief.
He goes, I'm gonna need you to drop the trousers. Whoa. Yeah. What do you mean? Right up the shooter, right up the butt. Boom. And then I was like, okay, that wasn't too bad. He goes, there's one more coming. And it was a second needle right there. Two needles in my buttocks, and I've never felt better right after.
Never felt better. I loved it.
Never felt better.
Like a poor doctor.
I don't think he's acting, man. I think he just has that about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because last night he was like, did I cuss? after a whole segment, he asked the board op dude, he was like, yo, did I cuss? And is everything okay? Because somebody said I might have said something. And I was like, yo, what? I was like, he doesn't know.
He just blacks out.
He has no idea.
Content gold.
Yeah. All right. Mike Breen. Oh. Dry snitching on Doris Burke.
Uh-oh.
Apparently Burke didn't make that last broadcast. She got sick out there in Vegas.
Ooh.
Or that's what we were told.
With Richard Jefferson, Mike Breen on hand, Lisa Salter's with us as well. Doris Burke will not be with us tonight. Doris not feeling well. And I think it's important to state that her absence and illness has nothing to do with the amount of money she lost on the blackjack tables in recent days. The authorities need to know that.
Jeez, bro, that's ESPN. It's the pregame for ESPN, man. What are we doing?
Classic.
That's how you know they're good friends.
Yeah.
Underrated. Yeah. I bet Breen been working on that joke for 2 days. He's so stiff.
Yeah.
He can barely get it out.
He should have hit a bang after that.
Oh, hey. Look, Clarence Carter coming at you. We got an apartment fire in Hoover, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Hoover, Alabama apartment fire, which are always scary because, you know, you got to rely on your neighbors for them to do the right thing so your stuff won't burn down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the ABC 3340, they talked to a resident live on the streets right there.
In that moment when you were hearing the screaming and the banging on the door saying there was a fire to get out, what was running through your mind in that moment? That's got to be scary.
I need to grab this Hennessy. Because I got to stay calm. And it's my off day, you know, and insurance going to pay for everything. And just stay calm and be relaxed because at the end of the day, as long as we're all safe, it's all material and can't be replaced.
It's all material.
Liquor store closed.
It's my stash for the night.
Let me grab this Hennessy real quick before we get out of here. Yeah,
maybe it was a Sunday.
Anything is possible, baby.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Hey. Okay. Are you guys familiar with Eddie House?
Yes.
Former Rocket?
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, baller.
Yeah, yeah, he's a baller, bro.
Six man.
Trash talker.
Big trash talker. Mike Dunleavy. You guys familiar with Mike Dunleavy?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And his dad.
Yep. Okay. I don't know what Mike Dunleavy did to Eddie House.
Oh.
But this is going to be vulgar. So if you got kids in the car, I don't know. I'm going to turn it down for a second or something. I'll talk to him and be like, hey, you know, these basketball players, I'll tell you what. You're like, use those potty mouths, don't they? Yeah, man, this is the Straight Game podcast. It has Mike Bibby on there, Eddie House, and Ty Ellis out of Dallas.
Salute.
Ty Ellis out of Dallas. Yeah, I don't know what Mike Dunleavy did to Eddie House, but wow, son.
Y'all had a hell of a squad, though.
No. What's crazy is we almost had y'all. We had your ass, and Mike Dunleavy, and I told him this. He
don't like Mike Dunleavy.
I hate that mother.
Oh, you or she, Wallace, a lot of people do.
I hate him. He's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit.
A lot of guys don't.
No,
like
he's
Mike.
A piece of shit. That's all it is. He's a piece of shit.
So listen to this, right?
Not a piece of shit. You know what
Mike
I mean?
Thought he was smarter than everybody. His breath stank
smell like shit, too. He's a piece of shit. Mike Dunleavy. This is about you and your team. That motherfucker.
At the end of the day, why is Eddie House talking like that?
I don't know.
What did Mike Dunleavy do to Eddie House? Why is Eddie House talking like that?
He's talking about the coach or the former Warrior turned. Is he GM now, right?
Mike Dunleavy, bro.
Jeez. Look into this.
You know, you come off like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of F.
Yeah. I think it's your dad. He's had a problem with
it. It was his former coach. Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense.
So the old man. So Mike Dunleavy coached the Trailblazers team that went up against the Lakers in 2000, lost in Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. And he was notorious for being like an East Coast tough guy who, when things got wrong with the players, he was willing to fight them. Like, he almost fought Jim Jackson and Rasheed Wallace one year. He was very confrontational, you know.
You were going to fight Rasheed Wallace?
Rasheed was trying to get to him, and Dunleavy was like, let him go.
No. No.
Big mistake.
Put your hands around that man. Let me get out of here with my keys. My God.
Yeah. Yeah, tough guy.
Okay. It gives me a little bit more context to it.
Yeah. I mean, he and his son both, like, good shooters in the league. And, you know.
Clearly, they shot at Eddie House.
No doubt. All right, there it is. Your champ and three challengers. Is it Blake Elliott, who just wanted the pain to go away? Is it Mike Breen dropping the dime there on Doris Burke? Is it an apartment fire in Hoover, Alabama? Gentleman needed to grab his cognac. Or is Eddie House talking about his former coach, Mike Dunleavy? I'll go with Blake, Chief.
I'll go with the cognac.
Lucius?
Shoot. Yeah, Eddie House, man. Shout out to Ty Ellis' family. I know they listen.
Salute. Happy holidays. Wolchuk?
I'll go with Blake.
Brian?
I'm going to vote for Eddie House.
We're tied at two. That means you're going to want to jump onto at GBag Nation. That is our Show X account. You can follow us all. The handles are in the bio at GBag Nation. So we'll create an Insta poll. You can vote for it over the next 5 minutes. And then we'll come back, announce it, and get into our next piece of sports content here in the GBag Nation, home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. And we have Brianna Dix, Buccaneers beat writer, joining us on The Fan. I want to chat Frankel's here with you real quick, so give me a second to get that poll up. Thank you very much, Lucius, and congrats to our winner, Eddie House, on the podcast. He won with 2/3 of the vote, edging out Blake Elliott, actually 66-33%. So the Tolos loved it. Thanks for following us there at GBag Nation on X. All of our handles are in the bio. You can follow us all when you get there. We'd love it. And joining us now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat writer Brianna Dix here on 105.3 The Fan. And good afternoon, Brianna. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. You know, trying to figure out if I want to see the Cowboys win or lose these next three games with draft position and all that. But still an outside shot of the playoffs, and Micah Parsons and the lads are confident. Should they be against this Tampa team?
Well, of course, I'm going to bet on the Buccaneers for this one. Obviously coming off one of our probably most complete games we've had this season. Obviously had a little bit of a lull there in the second quarter that's kind of been the Bucs' kryptonite against the Chargers. But, I mean, put up over 500 yards. The defense was gelling without some of our top players, including, you know, Jordan Whitehead, Antoine Winfield Jr., but found a way to get it done. And Baker, Mike Evans, this is a dynamic duo here in Tampa Bay. So I'm going to bet on the Bucs.
One of the turning points. Oh, so you're doing sports wagering now? Or is that just...
No.
Is that a hot pick? -3.5. Now, how's the Buccaneers' offensive line going to hold up against Mike and this Cowboys pass rush that's been tops in the NFL in sacks since his return? It's been a turning point. Do you think they can handle him?
I do. Tristan Wirfs and Luke Getteke. Luke Getteke is honestly playing some of his best football right now. So, like, his first year when he came in, so at Central Michigan, he had played tackle and then kind of switched to left guard here and faced like a gauntlet of three techniques his first season, and then they switched him back to right tackle. Tristan switched to left, but I mean, they're playing incredible football right now. And I think really just one of the things that's been really big for the Bucs this season, and I think part of Baker's mobility has kind of played into it, but it's just been the resurgence of our run game. But really, those guys are playing peak form, have helped our one game get off, but also protecting Baker Mayfield. And, I mean, basically held down Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack to only two pressures allowed last week. So I think I'm excited to see what they're going to be able to do against Mike Zimmer's defense.
Well, Bree, welcome home. We're glad to have you back in the Metroplex for this weekend. We've missed you. I got to ask how it is covering Baker Mayfield, because I don't know that there's a sports figure that I went from hating to loving as much as Baker.
It's hilarious, and what a small world. So I actually briefly covered, I don't know if you remember this, but I briefly covered the Sooners for USA Today. So I wrote a ton about Baker Mayfield and got to know him a little bit more just through that. And then lo and behold, I get this job and then we sign him. But what you see is truly what you get. I mean, he is the same person to our kitchen staff, to a janitor, as he is to Todd Bowles. Like those players really would genuinely run through a brick wall for him. And I think you see why, because he's a guy that lays it all out on the football field. And whether he's dealing with a stinking injury, as he has throughout the season, I mean, he still is a guy that's going to scramble 10 yards. You know what I mean? He's going to put this team on his back, and he's done that over and over. And he's playing, I mean, the best football that he had. I mean, he leads the NFL in passing touchdowns right now. I think he's like third in passing yards. And I think you're seeing just what he's able to do with the stability and the belief that he has in this system here, and he's thriving in Tampa.
Has he always done the nicotine or tobacco dipping during games? That was one of my favorite moments of the season, watching him throw one of the Zen pouches in his lip there on the bench.
He does, yes. And then going out there, he does like the smelling salts, and he has some odd, you know, he's a little stitious. He has some things he does, but, you know, it's like it's working. So let the man do his thing and let him bake.
Okay, can you you have a plug-in with the guys there to maybe bring back some smelling salts for us? We've been trying to get our hands in some smelling salts in the G-Bag Nation.
I personally do not have a shameless plug, but I could maybe ask Baker how that situation goes down.
See if you can get your hands on some for us, Brianna.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, Bree, the which offensive rookie has been better for him? I'm going to put you on the spot. Is Graham Barton or is it Bucky Irvin? Who's been better with your offensive rookies?
Ooh, that is a good question, but I'm going to have to go with Bucky Irvin on that one. I mean, he has been so exciting to watch. And it's not, I mean, we're talking about a running game that was like last in the league the last 2 years. And now we're second in the NFL in yards per rush. And I think he's a huge part of that. He has 55 missed tackles forced, first among rookies this year. And he's not the biggest back, but you see he has like the contact balance, the leg drive to handle the duties inside. And then I think he's really just found a way to thrive in more of those counter gap runs that Liam and what we've installed this year. Because last year we did a lot more of the Dave Canales had more of like the mid, the outside zone, which was kind of more of what Rashad White does really well. But Bucky, like his downhill charge is perfect for that. And he trusts the blockers. And I think, too, you've just seen our tight ends, our wide receivers, like everybody get in on that and helping. And they've done a really good job in that. But my gosh, I mean, the spin moves, like the lateral jump cuts, I mean, just his effectiveness and making that first guy miss, he's completely reignited this run game here in Tampa and has been a big reason why our offense has been able to have the success that it has.
It's a former Cowboys reporter, and now with the Buccaneers. You can read her stuff at Buccaneers.com. Brianna Dix here with us. So looking at the Tampa defense and the Cowboys' chances of getting over 20, it looks like Tampa's vulnerable there in the air. What's been the issue there so far this season?
The biggest thing for the Bucs past defense has really just been the injuries. So, I mean, we haven't had Jordan Whitehead, you haven't had Antoine Winfield, well, then you signed Mike Edwards, and then he's been out with injury. So we've been having, like, Christian Izian or rookie Tyke Smith, and they're playing literally pretty much every position on the back end. So against the Raiders, Christian Izian, who hasn't played corner since high school, was lining up at corner in that game because we were down a corner. And, I mean, was literally having to look to the guy next to him before the snap to see who he was playing with to then diagnose to himself, okay, I have to do this on this play because this guy's lining up next to me. I mean, that's how intense our injuries have been. And I think one of the biggest things for this defense has been kind of over the middle of the field, whether it's been tight ends, whether it's been the guys just kind of giving up those yak yards and the chunk yardage. So I think how the Bucs defense is able to hold up against that is going to be key moving forward. But I mean, we've been able to get some key pieces back. And then obviously the ability of our front to get pressure in recent weeks, especially with Lavonte David, his effectiveness on blitzes with Antoine being out, Todd's kind of sent him as the primary guy. And then also just Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi being able to get that penetration up the middle has really helped out our back end.
I mean, any defense that has Vea and Lavonte David against the run is, you know, has a pretty good chance of being okay. It looks about average. Obviously, a big Cowboys, you know, emphasis has to be the ground game, which Rico Dowdle has been very impressive in. I think since week 9, he might only trail Saquon Barkley in yards. You know, do you feel like Tampa, you know, could be had on the ground?
So I think that's an area that I think this Bucs defense is really going to be strong. And I think they've been a little better in recent weeks. But I mean, even against the Chargers, I mean, they held the Chargers to the lowest rushing yards they've had, like, all season long. I think they had, like, 30-something yards on the ground. But just when you pair those, but also, I mean, Lavonte David, I mean, the guy's 34 years old, and he has over 100 tackles, and is literally, like, flattening guards and getting the guys in the backfield. And also, like, Kalijah was a guy, especially coming out of Pitt, that kind of had that, the undersized knock. Is he going to be able to hold up at the point? Is he going, you know, is he going to be able to get moved off the ball? But he's been a guy that's really stepped up in the run game as well. So I think we're going to have a good day against the run.
How is Jalen McMillan, the rookie wide receiver, doing in place of Chris Godwin? The Bucs ended up drafting Graham Barton and McMillan. They were two of my favorite guys from last year's class, but J-Mac seems like he might be coming into his own now as a pro.
He is. And I will say, our coaching staff, I can't say enough about whenever, like, Mike Evans went down with injury with Chris Godwin. Obviously, things were looking a little doom and gloom in Tampa, but that was when, especially, you've seen guys like Jalen McMillan really emerge as kind of that number two guy behind Mike Evans. But really, the way that they were able to supplement the production of Godwin, because I mean this offense was primarily predicated on, you know, Mike Evans as your vertical threat, and then Chris Godwin is that guy that gets the rack yards, you know, the crossers, the slants, the in breakers, the corners, all of those type of things that he's able to do. And defense is having to account for those guys. But when you don't have Chris Godwin, I think Kate Otten is a guy that really especially stepped up kind of in those weeks after and was running a lot of those routes that Chris Godwin typically runs, and how they were able to supplement that production. And then they've kind of done a similar thing now with Jalen McMillan, kind of on some of those third down looks. But he's had a touchdown previous 2 weeks, you know, had kind of the rub route against the Chargers, but has kind of that long strided speed, a guy that coming out of Washington was really known for, you know, kind of his route running ability, the quickness in and out of breaks. And I think you're seeing that now kind of come to fruition, and just that familiarity and that level of comfort with Baker Mayfield, the more reps that he's been able to have.
Terrific stuff, Bree. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you so much.
There she goes, Brianna Dix. You can read her stuff, Buccaneers.com. Formerly worked with you up there at Cowboys.com.
Yeah, she was involved with a lot of different things, and she's done a great job with the Bucs. Like I say, if you follow along, she's really into the draft and things like that. And as you see, just a wealth of knowledge of what's going on with the Tampa Bay team.
Absolutely. Okay, NFL news today coming up. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
It's Penix time, two-way stars, and more shade at Dub Airs. That's next.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.